Open up, if you will, to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, after Acts 7, Saul had been consenting to the death of Stephen. A devout man had buried Stephen. Saul went from place to place, making havoc of the church. So they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Among those that were scattered abroad was a man named Philip. Philip was one of the first servants of the church. And Philip took the gospel to Samaria, verse 5 of Acts 8. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people of one accord gave heed to the things that Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. We know that the gospel message in the first century was confirmed by these miracles. Mark 16 and verse 20 tells us that whenever we're preaching the word, the Lord with them, confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16 and verse 20. Many of the Samaritans then became Christians. Among those was a particular man by the name of Simon. Simon is the guy I want to talk about today. Simon was a magician who pulled a lot of tricks on people. I don't know if he pulled any rabbits out of any hats or not. I know that if he did, I've been told in America now you've got to have a plan in case that rabbit gets out and away from your hat. And you've got to file that plan with the government before you can pull a rabbit out of the hat anymore. But I do know a few things about Simon. The first thing I know his condition before he met Philip. His condition was he was a sinner. I know that from Romans 3:23, among other places. Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know that sin separated him from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. But here's what it says in the text about him. In verse 9 beginning, the Bible says, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, and to him they had regard because of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. So among the sins that he committed, based on what the Bible teaches, was he committed the sin of sorcery. According to Exodus 22 and verse 18, the Old Covenant teaches you should not permit a sorcerer to live. Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12 says there's not supposed to be anyone found among you that practices witchcraft or interprets omens or is a sorcerer. For all those who do these things are an abomination, verse 12 of Deuteronomy 18 says. This says he bewitched the people. In other words, he shocked them. He had them move out of their own minds. And he claimed to be some great one. Now, whether it's true or not, I do not know. But a fellow who lived in the 3rd century, now, Irenaeus wrote of Simon that he claimed to combine in himself the three persons of the Trinity, alleging that he, as he appeared to the Jews as the Son, the Samaritans as the Father, and the Gentiles as the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that was true or not, or if that came up later, but I do know this. The text says he was committing the sin of sorcery. As a result of that, he received a great following. In fact, the text says he was followed from the least to the greatest. That is, he deceived the people who were on the bottom rung of society all the way up to the top in the city of Samaria. It's easy to deceive people, right? What was that old saying? You can fool some of the people some of the time. What did P.T. Barnum say? Sucker born every minute. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? He said in verse 4 and 5, take heed no one deceives you, saying, I'm the Christ. It's easy to deceive some people. But they accepted that he was called in this text the great power of God. They thought his power came from God. And he let them believe that, although it wasn't true. They may have thought he was an angel, But if he or an angel preached into the gospel, Galatians 1 said he should have been condemned. And he profited by his sin. We know that because we know that sorcery in the first century was a lucrative business. In Acts 16 and verse 16, the Bible says, "It came to pass when we came to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." It was a lucrative business. On another occasion, you remember, there was a whole lot of money in the city of Ephesus that was paid for the books of magic. And they burned them. Now, you wouldn't pay that much money for the books because the books didn't turn into some kind of money back for you. So it was a lucrative business. He was one who went around trying to claim that he had God's power, but he did not, making money off of it, making merchandise of what his so-called powers were. So we know that was his condition. He was a sinner. Then we know from the text he was converted, verse 12 through 13. It said, "When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs that were done." He heard the gospel because Philip brought it to him, Acts 8 and verse 4. We know that when Philip preached, he preached unto him Jesus. We know the kingdom was preached, verse 12. We know that he believed the preaching, verse 13. Simon himself believed also. Now, those who believe this false doctrine of once saved, always saved, say, "Well, he really didn't believe." That'd be fine, except the text said he really did believe. Inspiration said Simon himself believed also. Also means he believed just like those up above in verse 12 who certainly were saved. Jesus' name was preached and he believed the gospel. He obeyed the gospel because he was baptized in verse 13. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be" what? "Saved." Then he even continued in the gospel for a period of time. Verse 13 said he continued with Philip. And when he continued with Philip, what did he see? He saw true power in action. It wasn't like his fake stuff. Just like the magicians in the Old Testament, in the story of Moses. You remember when it all started out? Look, he throws down his rod and makes a snake. Oh, we can pull that trick. Till eventually they got to the point they said, "We can't do that one." It really wasn't very helpful when they pulled the lice trick out of their hat, was it? There was lice everywhere, and they said, "Oh, we'll make more lice." That wasn't helpful. Yet, eventually they reached the point, they said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." See, there's a limit to what people can do with their little magic tricks. In fact, he met Peter and John in Acts 8:14. It says, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria received the word of God, they sent it in Peter and John, who when they were come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. So they're confirming the message there. But what does he do next? Transgression. So he was a sinner. Then he was converted. Now he's going to commit sin again. Look at verse 18 through 23. "When Simon saw, through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands may receive the Holy Ghost.' Then Peter said, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou thought the gift of God might be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity.'" He was perishing. Peter said, "Thy money perish with thee." You know, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? Acts 17, 30 and 31. So if he's perishing, we know what he's doing. He's gone back from that saved state back into that state where he is lost. In fact, the text says he was filled, as Peter put it, with the gall of bitterness. Gall has to do with that which is secreted by the liver. In the ancient world, they believed that snake's venom came from their liver, from that gall that came up. So what Peter's saying is you are filled with the poison of bitterness. And he was in what the text calls the bond of iniquity. Now what's a bond? Well, this a bond is something that holds you in place. If a prisoner is in bonds, that means he has something to hold him in place, whether he's in some jail cell or has some bond on his leg or bond on his arm. And Jesus came, according to Isaiah 58, verse 6, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free. But he had gone back into the bond that he had been in before. That bond was the bond of sin. And that sin was caused when he committed wickedness because his heart was not right with God. His problem was his heart. It was his thinking. It was his motives. It was the way he looked at the world. He had everything backwards. He thought originally, that if he followed Philip, maybe he'd get what he got. Then Peter and John came down and they were giving out what Philip had. And he thought, well, if I could just do what they did, if I could just be what Peter is and what John is, although the problem was Jesus wasn't taking applications for apostles anymore. The job had already been filled. There was no need for him to apply for that job. He erred from the truth. And if anyone erred from the truth, according to James 5, 19 and 20, and one teach him the error of his way, let him know that he which converts a sinner from the error of his way saves a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sin. In fact, his end, according to 2 Peter 20 and 21, is worse than the beginning. Because here was someone that had escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he is again entangled therein and overcome. And the text says the latter end is worse to him than the beginning. For it would have been better for him not to have known the ways of righteousness, and after he has known it, to turn from the holy commandment given unto him. What has happened to him is like to the true proverb. The sow, the pig that was washed, has gone back to wallowing in the mire. Or the dog has gone back and ate up its own vomit. It was worse for him than had he never obeyed the gospel. But what happens next? Well, that he has an opportunity to be restored in 22 through 24. Peter tells him, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the very thought of thy heart be forgiven thee. Then answered Simon, verse 24, pray ye the Lord for me that none of these things that I have spoken come upon me. He acknowledged his sin. He had to admit there that he was wrong. That's not easy for some people to admit they're wrong. I know some people that never have been wrong. They weren't wrong in kindergarten when they made the R backwards. They weren't wrong in first grade when they said 2 plus 2 was 6. They weren't wrong in history class in fifth grade when they said that America was founded by Christopher Columbus, who was the father of our country. They had it all mixed up then. But they weren't wrong. And they're still not wrong today. They've never been wrong. But unfortunately, the Bible says all have sinned. You know, you can't hide your sin. Be sure your sin will find you out, Moses told those on the other side. God will not overlook sin. God wants sin to be confessed, 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. What does he do, though? He repents of his sin, as best we can tell. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, Revelation 2 and verse 5. Repent and do the first works, else I will come quickly and remove your candlestick, lest you repent. Now, he's not told to go and be baptized again. That's not the method that he's given. Sometimes people ask that question, must I be baptized again? That is for the alien sinner. He is told, the alien sinner, in Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized. Simon, however, is told, repent and pray. He should confess his sins, confess your faults one to another, and pray you one for another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5 and verse 16. Also 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That he received forgiveness if he truly repented. You see in this text where Peter says, if perhaps. Now, Peter's perhaps doesn't have anything to do with God's side of the situation. God has truly said, I'll forgive you. God has truly said, for example, in the prodigal son, he receives him back just like he was before. That was God as the father in that story. God has said over and over, if you'll come home, I'll receive you back home.
Yes, sir.
That was not the perhaps. The perhaps question was, will you really change your heart on the inside? That was the perhaps. If you will, there's no doubt God will forgive. Now the question is this morning, are you saved? If you are you still that way? See, at one time Simon was. Then Simon had other motives come in, other things come in, other thoughts come in. And that original salvation that he had, he began to almost give it away. Why'd he do it? Well, he did it because his heart was not right with God. He had believed, he had been baptized, but he fell away. He fell away because he thought that he should be in a better position than he was. At least as far as he was concerned, it was a better position. What about us today? You ever thought to yourself, well, I ought to be in a better position than I am? Sometimes that can make the heart do a lot of things the heart ought not have no business doing.
Amen.
And you can wind up in the same situation as this fellow by the name of Simon. And we know what Simon was before. He was a lost sinner. Then the text says, as we read it and went through some scripture, that he was in a worse state now than he was before. He was lost before and he's worse than he was before. What kind of situation would that be for you today? Could you possibly be worse off than before you obeyed the gospel? The text says clearly, the answer to that question is yes. What have we got to do to get back? We've got to get back on that highway of holiness by saying, Lord, I did it, and I'm going to stop it. I did it. That's what confession is. In fact, the word confession, the word translated confession in the New Testament, is the word homo lego. Lego means I say, homo means same. I say the same thing about my sin that God said. God said I did it, and I agree 100%. I did it. And once you're willing to confess, if you're willing to make that change, and you're willing to ask for the prayers of those who have the relationship with God that can get you back on the highway to holiness, then God is willing to take you back with Him. If you're subject to invitation, come as we stand, as we sing.